Welcome to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Good morning if you're in America, good afternoon if you're in the UK and Europe, good evening if you are in India and the Far East. You are all very welcome. I hope that you are seeing some lovely signs of spring wherever you are in the world. It is a beautiful day here in the south of the UK today. The sun's shining. All the bulbs have flowered, the trees are in blossom. It's absolutely beautiful out there. So today, I just want to remember all of those women at the moment who are in the Ukraine, because we hear about all the men and the fighters, and behind all of those are the women trying to keep life together, who are looking after their children, their parents, who are traveling across country with buggies and packs of stuff. And my heart goes out to all of those women who are just trying to keep it all together for their children. So wherever you are, ladies, just really thinking about you today, and so grateful to be where I am, living in peace and be able to think about you, and hoping that you're okay and that you're safe. So my guest in the studio today, who I will be introducing shortly, is the amazing Monica Rogers. We will get back to her shortly. For the time being, I'm just looking at what's been in the media this week about menopause. And for once, I'm actually going to a celebrity post. Every week there are celebrities talking about their menopause, and great, because they're raising awareness of what's going on. But I very rarely mention them. But I thought I would go with this one this week, which was reported in any number of news outlets. This one I've taken from Hello magazine. Can IVF bring on early menopause? A doctor explains. This week, Kourtney Kardashian said that going through IVF treatment had brought on menopause, telling her mum, Kris Jenner, the medication that they've given me, they put me into menopause, literally into menopause. The idea that IVF medication can cause the onset of early menopause is false, reassures embryologist Raj Joshi of fertility specialist Life Sciences. One IVF step, now this is what's important, is it's part of the process of IVF. One IVF step involves a treatment called down regulation, which shuts down your natural menstrual cycle, stopping the periods, he says. He goes on to explain that this is temporary and is done in order to allow for the stimulation of the ovaries. Doctors are very clear that IVF does not trigger menopause, but it can create menopause-like symptoms. That's the point, is that it's like being in menopause because you've been down-regulated, but it's not menopause. Some of the medications needed during IVF can be difficult for some people to tolerate and can cause cramping and bloating. Plus, there is a range of emotions to deal with, says Dr. Tanya Adib, consultant gynecologist at Women's Health Clinic Luminosa. Many of the hormones needed for IVF mean women report brain fog and mood swings, and these are similar to many menopause symptoms. Dr. Joshi goes on to explain that IVF can have an impact on periods and cause them to stop temporarily, which could be why Kourtney said that she'd been put into menopause. So it's the kind of headline that scares women. And I think it's just really important to say that part of the process is like menopause, but it isn't menopause. Now we've cleared that up, we can go on to another report that says, why aren't venture capitalists funding more startups focused on menopause? And this comes from the TechCrunch website. In recent years, femtech has attracted increasing attention and venture funding, with dozens of startups springing into existence, from digital health apps to more newly regenerative medicine companies. Most of the deals tied to infertility, and it's easy to appreciate why. Among US women ages 15 to 49 with no prior births, 26% have difficulty getting pregnant or carrying a pregnancy to term, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Yet menopause, which is clearly an enormous market, we've talked about this before, they're seeing us as a very big market, so watch out for more targeting of women at menopause. continues to attract a trickling of investment dollars. According to Crunchbase data, only a dozen startups that address menopause have attracted funding over the last 12 months. It's even more shocking given that women who are premenopausal, menopausal or postmenopausal tend to be at the height of their spending power. That's why it's shocking, is because we've got money and they haven't found a way to get it off of us. There are plenty of reasons investors might be hesitant, including that many are male and will themselves never experience menopause. Indeed, most of the companies funded to date have received checks from women venture capitalists. No big shocker there, Ben. Okay, next one. Endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women, but is largely ignored in the workplace. This comes from the HRdirector.com. It is Endometriosis Month, a global awareness month to raise awareness of a disease which affects an estimated 200 million women worldwide. And Adrian Lewis, Commercial Director at Active People HR, is calling on employers to do more to break the taboo around women's health issues in the workplace and offer better support, a subject that is close to my heart. According to the charity Endometriosis UK, endometriosis is a common, sometimes debilitating, but often ignored gynecological disease affecting 1 in 10 women. The charity recently revealed 60% of women aged 16 to 24 and 56% of those aged 25 to 34 would be concerned discussing the condition with their employer if they were taking time off due to painful periods and chronic pelvic pain. That's something we've talked about. You know, we need to be training, as I do, training managers to be able to talk about this, not to solve the problems, but to be able to listen. Other research around the impact of menopause on women's working lives by the Social Research Institute at University College London highlights women are missing out on promotions and pay rises due to menopause. Careers are disrupted or even cut short as some women reach the peak of their working life because of symptoms such as hot flushes, insomnia, anxiety, and heart palpitations. Endometriosis, for example, is something that affects a lot of women, but which male managers may not even have heard of. So educating staff, training managers, and encouraging a culture where women feel able to speak up if they are suffering is key. Absolutely, let's train our managers. The next one comes from newsmedical.net, shift work linked to delayed onset of menopause. I thought this was really interesting. It's no secret that working non-traditional shifts can wreak havoc on lifestyle and sleep habits. Shift work has also been known to have a negative effect on workers' health. A new study suggests it may also delay the onset of natural menopause, possibly because of disruptions in circadian rhythms. So our natural daily rhythms of our hormones. Study results are published online in Menopause, the journal of the North American Menopause Society, NAMS, which you can look up online. Although shift work has become an economic necessity to keep up with the increased demand for goods and services, it is not without health risks. Previous studies have linked shift work with an increased risk of coronary events, with the highest risk being associated with night shifts. Other related health problems include peptic ulcers, type 2 diabetes, and cancers such as prostate, colorectal, and breast cancer. My husband worked night shifts for a couple of years, and he ended up with, and the word has just gone straight out of my head, I will have to come back to it. Anyway, it was painful. He's over it now, but shift work can really affect your health. This new study, based on secondary data analysis of nearly 3,700 premenopausal women, aimed to investigate association between shift work exposure and variations in age at natural menopause in adult Canadian workers. So really important. If I remember what happened to my husband, I'll let you know. I know you're all hanging on now to know what went on with it. Okay, my next item is from the nursingtimes.net. An experienced NHS manager and registered nurse has told an influential group of MPs, so members of parliament in the UK, of the gap in workplace support and awareness for health professionals managing symptoms of the menopause. The essential points in there were about exhaustion, not being seen, not being recognized, not able to maximize your well-being, even if you wanted to retain your position of work, let alone extend that position to a coaching or mentoring role, or in fact, explore more senior and leadership roles, noted Miss McBurney, who is a registered nurse by background. Through her work with the group she chairs, McBurney told MPs that she found that people have struggled with awareness in the workplace around menopause. I work so hard at this. I've given two talks to organisations this week about it. It's been reported to me, she says, that line managers that haven't received training in awareness of menopause can effectively gatekeep their access to, for instance, occupational health, where that might offer some menopause discussion, she said. She added, one of my colleagues that was Muslim did not want to share the details of her sensitive symptoms, but had to do that in order to access support in the workplace, both in terms of flexible working or onward occupational health. Another reason why we need to educate managers to have this sensitive conversation. And the last thing which I picked up today was that Boots the Chemist, who are the equivalent of like Walgreens. In fact, I think Walgreens have bought Boots the Chemist, have offered to pay for their women staff to have hormone replacement therapy if they want it. So because prescriptions aren't free here in the UK, they've offered to pay their prescription charges, which is worth over £200 or about $300 a year. So that's really helpful. Good. I'm really loving seeing employers having different approaches and strategies to helping employees. Monica, before we go to the break, it is lovely to see you today.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Pat. Thank you so much.
And before we came on air, we were chatting and we were dancing. It's a wonder I've got any breath left by the time the program goes on.
I loved that.
It gets the energy going, doesn't it? Having a bit of a dance. And you were telling me that the energy at the moment is the energy of the coyote. And that can be tricksy, can't it? Coyote is a bit of a tricksy animal. What does it mean for us day to day?
Well, day to day, it's really all about teaching us to have more levity, you know, and laughter, and really, especially us women, right, who are so used to holding it all apart holding it all together, and like kind of just laughing at the folly, you know, when we're kind of taking ourselves too seriously.
Well, we've been doing a bit of that already, so that's good. The name of what my husband suffered has finally come into my head. It was diverticulitis. He got that and poor man. And he got it around our 25th wedding anniversary, which I subsequently named our shit anniversary. Because all my plans for that weekend disappeared, but not his fault. I've forgiven him. We're still married. 44 years have passed. We're all good. So join us after the break when I'll be talking to Monica about how we say yes to the mess. See you after the break.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Hot Women in Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. I like to think that the listeners are rocking along with the music as well, because it's just such a great way to keep lifting your mood and moving the energy around. So a big welcome to my guest today, who is the gorgeous Monica Rogers. She's a tireless advocate for the full actualization of women, inspiring women everywhere that saying yes to the mess is the missing link to self-love and personal liberation and awakening. Through the Revelation Project podcast and group coaching programs, Monica guides women through their inner evolution or revolution from trance to transcendence, revealing the toxic myths of social conditioning and self-doubt in order to illuminate the magic and magnificence of our imperfect selves. She believes that women can take action towards realizing our true potential only when we stop proving and striving to be who everyone wants us to be. And that is the theme of menopause. I think that's when we really get to grips with that. When we reveal the truth of who we are, we return to our original design, and with the practice of self-love and compassion, we become aligned, opening the portal to our divine purpose where true prosperity dwells. There's never been a more important time for women to reveal the truth of who they are as a catalyst for positive change in the world, as the divine feminine returns in the Sophia century. Wow, Monica. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here on Hot Women Rock. I, of course, love the name of your show.
Thank you so much. And it's great to see you here. And anybody listening, I hope you already get the idea that we will be dancing between the profound and the profane this afternoon as we get into, well, I think spirit dances in that way too. And certainly Coyote does, in terms of, like, we know there's deep stuff to be done. We know how important our purpose and our spirits are, and we can have a laugh and enjoy it and dance with it. Anyway, enough from me. Monica, tell me about your journey. How did you get to be the wonder that you are?
The wonder that I am. Thank you. So really, I would say, you know, having had a challenging upbringing, like many of us, you know, and just really having to get to that point in my life where it was time to start answering my soul's call, you know, and to really know myself. And I think that we can tend to live on the surface of life until we're kind of called to go more deeply. And that usually actually happens through some kind of messy initiation or through a crisis, yeah. Which really can be a disguised gift and has us really, I think, start to pay attention in a much deeper way. And so I got to a point in my life where I had probably heard the nudges, the gentle nudges from the universe, you know, to stop, to pause, to slow down. I was very kind of in touch with that very kind of strong, aggressive, getter done masculine energy. But I really had suppressed, like so many women, the balance to that, which is the feminine. And so I got to a point in my life where I say I was building an empire on quicksand. And I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to create balance in my life. And so I had the universal smackdown. You know, once the universe was done nudging gently, you know, she really came at me with a 2x4 and I was down for the count, you know.
How did she do it? Did she start with the gentle, do you know, you should ease back a bit? Or did you get the bit of a slap? What happened? What was your epiphany?
Well, I think for so many of us, it's like we're pretending not to know that we're unhappy, or we're pretending not to know that we're unfulfilled in some way. And yet women are socially conditioned to do it all and to hold it all. And I think we're in this period now where we're really starting to learn how to bring feminine values back into our lives. We're learning how to access our power centers, which is exactly where we're taught not to go during that social conditioning phase. And so many of us are using our voices finally. We're saying that beautiful word, enough, you know, we're feeling enough. You know, we're tapping into our intuition much more deeply. We're tapping into our sensuality much more deeply. And this is, you know, such a beautiful part for me of the Revelation Project. I say that everybody's doing their own Revelation Project, and that if we're in relationship with the universe, as if it's continually in co-partnership with us, revealing as we journey through, you know, our own individual lives, that's really kind of that reciprocal flow that allows us to kind of not need to control everything.
Yeah, because that's what we're really good at, isn't it? It's what we think we're good at, is controlling everything and then realizing we actually control very little. And I think that was one of the revelations of lockdown in the past 2 years, is actually there's very little we can control outside of ourselves. What we can control is what is inside of us. So why did you call it the Revelation Project? What was the inspiration for it?
Well, I often say that the Revelation Project found me versus the other way around. But to me, at the time, that's exactly what I was experiencing, was this allowing for the first time in my life, you know, and you had asked earlier, you know, how did it happen? Well, it happened literally by everything needing to fall apart and by me having to learn to say yes to the mess that had become my life, you know? And so when I talk about that, I talk about the fact that it was right during the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, I lost my business. You know, my marriage was falling apart. I was being sued, right? Like everything was just a mess. And, you know, and on top of that, I had a pretty severe health crisis. And so I kind of went into this deep depression. I ended up in bed for 9 months, believe it or not, and really just had to learn how to love myself through that. And I never knew what that really meant until I was just forced to be with myself day after day. And, you know, when you're in that kind of a mess, people think it's contagious. You're not necessarily invited to all the dinner parties anymore, you know?
Well, I'm just going to stop you for a moment. I'm sorry to be rude, but I'm just going to say, you know, one of my jobs when I was in the civil service was that I was the advisor and the specialist on sewage treatment works. So I didn't, people put their hand out to me and go, "Hi, Pat, how are you? What do you do?" "I'm the specialist on sewage treatment work." Oh, I just wiped my hand.
That is hysterical. Yeah, it was kind of like that, Pat, really. And you know, and that is, I want to say about the mess is that what I've come to learn about the mess is that it's where the most fertile moments are, where, you know, we really, I think of, and I know it might be, you know, trite, but it's always that idea of like, when I finally got that term, no mud, no lotus, it was such a revelation to me. It was like that actually true enlightenment happens through the grit of life, you know, that actually if we can learn to say yes to those gritty moments in our lives and just understand that something else is being revealed to us, that within every single shadow that we have to face in our lives is also a gift. That, you know, that in order to illuminate, you know, our lives, it's about actually embracing the shadows and bringing light into those shadows and kind of illuminating the gift that's within them and then integrating those. And so I had really been denying, you know, all of the truth that was also an and, right? It was like, I was messy and magnificent. And we can forget that we can be both and at the same time. And I didn't even know how to also claim my own brilliance, my own enoughness, my own magnificence. And so it was like learning that I didn't have to be perfect, that I didn't have to hold it all together, that I could actually be human. Imagine that.
I know, it's such a gift, isn't it, to be human? And so I think from what you were saying earlier about women becoming more aware, I think there's a whole generation of women coming through now who have thought more about this, who perhaps have had more work opportunities, they've had careers, and then they get to menopause and then they think, well, what's going on here? What's this about? Nobody told us about this. And it is the mess that has so much to offer. So I don't know, what kind of, is there like a central age group of women that come to you? Or do you think it is this younger group who are now seeing menopause and thinking, I'm going to do something different?
Well, I think we're seeing a shift in multiple generations at the same time, because this time period that we're in is, you know, many people call it the Great Awakening, right? Or many people call it the time of transition, or, you know, and we're having this moment where we're really taking an evolutionary leap. And that means that, you know, in order for us to really embrace any kind of new world that we're creating, we have to first allow the old world to fall apart. And what I find is that a lot of women have been conditioned again to hold that all together. Yeah. We don't necessarily want to do that right now. We don't want to hold it all together, because, you know, there can be grace in things falling apart, you know? And so to answer your question, different women at different phases of their lives, I think, are starting to recognize the messaging. And they're at different phases of awakening, but the messaging that tells us that we're not enough, that we're broken, that we need to be fixed, that, you know, in order to be happy, we need to have and acquire and, you know, collect, right? And I don't know about you, but I've never heard anybody who, you know, has all the stuff and is like just super happy with their lives. You know, there comes a point where you're like, is this it? Is this it? And it's like, no, it's not. And so that's when I think women start to understand, like, it's not out here, it's in here. And it's about learning how to go within. And so I would say a lot of women who have started to experience those crisis moments are the ones that are in pain come first. You know, those are the people, those are the women that reach out first.
I think that's interesting, of like the having. Because sometimes years ago, I first trained as a therapist 12 years ago, and probably, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I had another therapist say, you can either have an acquisition mindset, as in, I want to have friends, I want to have stuff, or you can have a creative mindset of, I want to create friendships, I want to create a life. And there's a huge difference between the having and the creating. And the creation is just a very positive, and I would say a feminine way of looking at it. Doesn't mean that men can't do it. It's just a different side of their natures. Oh my goodness, we're going to the second break. We'll be coming back to learn from you your top tips for women to find their feminine freedom. See you after the break.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest today is Monica Rogers, and we're going to be talking about saying yes to the mess and finding out the 7 steps to feminine freedom. Tell me about the 7 steps, Monica.
Gotta unmute. So I was saying, my goodness, the 7 steps were actually created in a mess, you know, and I started recognizing that there were certain things that were helpful, you know, when you're in a mess or you're going through a mess. And so the first one is actually really simple. And these are all steps that you can use over and over again in your revelation project. And so the first one really is to reveal, is to offer transparency to yourself and to those that love you, right? And it's to say, it's to invite, you know, in the intimacy and say, you know, I'm in a mess right now. I'm feeling vulnerable. I'm feeling confused. Things are changing, right? Things are falling apart. I don't know what's happening. And allow yourself to just, you know that nobody needs to fix you, that it's actually a normal, we need to normalize that we have these phases of life, these initiations into a different phase of our lives. And this gets to happen as many times as it needs to. And yeah. So that's that first step, which is really to reveal, like, what's really here in this moment, you know, what's really here to say, and to stop pretending not to know, you know, like if you're unhappy, it's like that gets to belong here and it doesn't have to be fixed. Just let it be in the space, right? So that's step one.
Yeah. And even if we don't say anything, other people know. You can't hide that much. You might not say the words, but people pick things up just from looking at you. I sent my friend Kay in Mallorca a set of ally cards that were called The Universe Has Got Your Back, which I just love the name of them. And I was talking to her today and I said to her, oh, pick a card for me, because I hadn't seen these cards. And the card she picked was, your vibe is more important than your words. Mm. And it is, you know, as soon as somebody meets you, they know a lot about you before you've even opened your mouth, but you're trying to hide stuff even from yourself. Anyway, I could go on, but I'm not going to. Step two.
I love that. Yeah. And so step two is the say yes to the mess part. It's what I call the reckoning. You'll notice that all these words are rewords. And the reckoning, right, is like, what is that messy truth that you have to face? And so it's allowing yourself the time and the space to kind of contemplate what that is. And again, to normalize that it's not going to feel comfortable. You know what I mean? And that there's something here about leaning into that versus running away from it, because, you know, that great saying, what you resist persists, is just so true. And so it's about actually softening your heart and getting curious and tender toward yourself and just starting to notice, right? Like, what's really here? What is there? Some grief? Is there some unreleased emotion? And that's what I mean when it's like, when it's time to really face change in our lives, it can be messy and it can be filled with all of these gifts of grace and wisdom and revelation, really. I mean, when we start getting out of the comfort zone, that's when we start to have these revelations.
Yeah. And don't judge yourself. You know, if stuff is a mess, it's okay. There's no judgment. Just notice it. Right. So we've revealed it. We've reckoned it. Let's crack on.
Exactly. And then it's all really about reflecting. And so this is where, you know, you really get to notice where you might have been having expectations about yourself or projecting things upon other people. This is kind of where we start to get in right relationship, right? Where we start to admit that maybe we have made some mistakes, right? That maybe we have, like, in this reflection period, again, it's not about beating ourselves up. It's about kind of taking an inventory, a soulbatical on our lives, and taking a break from, like, kind of the chaos, if we can do that, to just kind of have an evaluation and again, with hands on our own hearts, because it's true that we are only able to do the best we can do with what we're given with at any given time. And even if we've stepped over doing our best because we, you know, have fallen short in some way, this part is about forgiveness, this reflection part, self-forgiveness.
And so much of the pressure that we experience is pressure we put on ourselves. And so that time of reflection is, I think, is so important. Whew. Step four.
All right. She's ready to go on. Okay. So this part is recover. And so this is, you know, once we've kind of really done this inventory, it's looking at what has happened to us does not define us. And so it's really getting clear about what is the story that we've been living in about our lives. What is the story we've been living in about who we are? And is that an empowering story that you're living in? Because if it's not an empowering story, the next step is reauthor. You are the author of your life. So it's actually about, you know, starting to recognize, as women, we often forget that part of our magic is our ability to create. And you said that beautiful word earlier, right? It's like we have a choice, and we can tend to, like, kind of hang out in these archetypes that are not helpful: martyr, victim. And when we can see ourselves again in that story of our lives, and we start to realize, like, that is not actually an empowering story. That is not a story I want to be telling myself day after day. Yeah. We get to start to dare to dream about the life we're creating in this moment and from this moment, and start to reauthor that story. And so this is where we,
I think that's beautiful, because we can tell ourselves all the miserable stories and become that victim, or we can say, but you know what? Whatever got thrown at me, I'm still here. So it kind of been that bad, because I got through it and I'm still here. And I often get asked on podcasts, what would you say to your 18-year-old self? And rather than something deeply profound, I'd say, keep going, girl, because you're doing brilliantly.
So you
know,
good.
There were mistakes along the way. You know, there were probably guys you shouldn't have spent time with. But guess what? You know, you got past that, you built a life, and you set the foundations for the future. So, yeah, if you're thinking about your younger selves, send them lots of love and compassion and think, well, think what they went through and how they succeeded. Excellent. Next step.
So the next step is the reclamation. And what I love about what you just said is that's that inner child work that, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, I was one of them. So I'm saying, you know, it's like, I remember somebody telling me to do mirror work. And I was like, oh, I am not doing that. You know, like that moment where I get like really, you know, like lovey-dovey to my, you have to find your own style, right? But for me, like when I finally got the inner child thing was when I looked at my daughter and I got like, would I ever speak to my daughter the same way I'm speaking to myself? And that we all have an inner child that actually, usually when we're triggered, it is our inner child. And so the reclamation is about remembering all of the parts of ourselves we had abandoned along the way and remembering ourselves. And to, you know, when we remember ourselves, we have to remember when we go out there, that's the whole like H-O-L-E. But when we go in, what we're doing is the whole W-H-O-L-E, right? And that's that part where the whole is where it all gets to belong. That's the reclamation. It's where the sacred and shows up, you know, where we can be all of it, right? And we don't have to, just because we're, you know, have ADD, it doesn't mean that we're just a hot mess everywhere, right? There's also brilliance in that. It's really allowing ourselves to hold the tension of these opposites, the paradox, and to reclaim these parts of ourselves we had abandoned and to step into our own sufficiency, our own enoughness, because we are enough just the way we are, as
and
we
we're
are
worthy. We're worthy, and we're worthy as well. Embrace your worthiness. I have a picture of myself, an old black and white picture, because that's how old I am, of myself on a beach, and I'm a toddler, and I'm wearing one of those little dresses with the smocking across the top of it. And this is before people were always taking photographs of children with phones, you know, because kids now, they just pose all the time. But I am like, I'm on a beach, I'm having a good day, get out my way, I'm just doing my beach thing. And I just love that two-year-old. I think she is fantastic. And every day I'm kind of going back to her or reclaiming her. And my husband makes me laugh because he said, when I look at that picture, I understand why your parents worried about you, why your mother wasn't that keen on you. Because she would look at that picture and think, here comes trouble, because that's what I look like. You know, I look like, nobody's getting in my way. I'm having a good time. I'm not stopping. You can buy me an ice cream, but that's as far as we're going.
I love
the seven steps. Monica will be coming back shortly just to dig a little bit deeper into what's that, how do women get started, and what should they do first. Join us after the break for more wit and wisdom from Monica and myself.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
All pet lovers,
pet avengers assemble.
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest today is Monica Rogers, the creator of the Revelation Project. So, Monica, I'm thinking of all sorts of words about being with re, as in recreate and retreat rather than retreat. Let's retreat ourselves. Anyway, moving on.
It's so true.
The seventh step, we've got there. What's the next thing we should be doing?
So the seventh step is revolution. And the reason, you know, I called it revolution and I had kind of, you know, put the quotations around the R because it's kind of that re-evolution, right? Mm. It's that part of women that I love so much, which is, you know, our journey is more circular. It's more cyclical. Mm. And, you know, when we think again about the masculine and the feminine, these are energies that live within all of us. And so there's times for the linear, there's times for laying the bricks, right? But then there's another time to actually kind of circle a period of our life in a contemplative way that allows us to have more space. Mm. And I think we call it menopause for a reason, you know? And I like to look at the pause part of it because it gives us the opportunity, you know, and it is truly an opportunity to be in relationship with ourselves in an empowered way, in a way that celebrates all of these milestones that we've lived. And again, in this society, we can tend to define success in a very upside down way. But true success is when we've learned, you know, when we've allowed ourselves to learn so many amazing lessons and to have that insight that, you know, and to integrate that insight, because it's the insight, you know, that creates the involution. We can focus on the evolution, right? But there's also the involution. And that's where we truly kind of come into this new awareness, this new consciousness about our lives and our place in our lives and our place in the world. And I think we're in a tremendous time period right now, you know, that Lynn Twist calls the Sophia century, which is the century of wisdom. And, you know, we can take a look at the world and say, like, well, it doesn't look like wisdom has arrived yet, but we're the wisdom. You know, it's a time where, you know, the feminine and women step into, you know, it's where we stop suppressing all of this and we step into co-equal partnership with men. And we're not here to ask for that to happen. We're here to step up and into it, because this is about giving ourselves permission, actually. This is about understanding that we have the right to not have to know it all, to sit at the table. Yeah. We have the right to fire ourselves from the job that's just the job. If we want a more meaningful life, we get to believe that we can have a more meaningful life, right? And so it's starting to recognize that we have birthrights as human beings that we've never really taken advantage of. And this is a powerful time. And also that it's never too late, you know, that what I've started to really recognize is that as I get into these crone years of my life, I am just like, I feel more and more filled with wonder. It's literally like I'm coming back around the circle into this place of awe and wonder and innocence all over again, because it's inspired my curiosity. I'm in a relationship with the world that's like, what's going to happen today? You know? And also like, again, like, playing with all of these things that I know to be true about myself now that I'm speaking to myself differently and offering myself space and grace to create from a place of desire and passion versus should.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's let go of the shoulds. First major thing, let go of the shoulds. Monica, we're going to run out of time. So I need to know, I think you've got a giveaway for our listeners. What are we offering them?
I do. Okay. So it's actually a bill of rights and you can go to jointherevelation.com and you can download your free bill of rights. And with that, you know, the idea is to just do your own, right? But use mine as your, you know, template if you'd like. And it's really about sitting down with your pen and your journal and just writing your own bill of rights. And hopefully mine will give you an idea of what I mean to kind of do that. And I'd love to hear what you come up with and share it with me.
I think it's always good to have an example. I find it so much easier when somebody said, this is my, oh, I wouldn't have that, but I'd have this. I find it so much more helpful. Thank you very much for that. So what is the first thing, what's one thing that women could do to improve their lives? What's that first step? Is it the first step of the seven steps, or is it just like recognizing there's something to be done?
Well, I think that's it. You know, it's recognizing, you know, no, not this, yeah. You know, and starting to figure out, well, then if no, not this, if you know kind of that, you may not know yet what that is that you want, but to start to really pay attention, what resonates as something that's calling you forward, you know, and maybe it's a retreat, maybe it's a, you know, doing a class that's just like, oh, but you've been shitting on yourself and well, I shouldn't, you know, but what really is calling to you? And then invest in yourself, do that thing for yourself that will start to open, you know, everything up.
Absolutely. This is a time for self-care. It's a time for self-care for your body because you're building your foundations for the next 30, 40, 50 years. So your body is waking you up and saying, take care of me because, you know, I want to be around for a while. It's time for self-care for your emotions. It's time for self-care for your spirit. Your spirit is calling you to pay attention to it and to do something wonderful. And this is such an amazing time for that to happen. I love all these steps. I'm going to think of loads more re-words. Because the re is like that coming back and having another go at this. And you know, regular listeners will know that I've talked about when I spoke to a homeopath who's a man, and he said to me, oh, I really envy women their menopause because they get to press the reset button.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really? And he said, yeah, men don't get that, but women get the wake-up call that it's time now to be paying attention, whether it's attention to your health or what's going on in your life, your relationships. You get to press the button. Men just are on this kind of gradual decline.
It's so interesting, right, Pat? Like, it's like we've been conditioned to think of this time as, or even this being female as like the curse, you know?
Yes.
And it's so not. It's so the opposite, you know? I feel so blessed, you know, to be in this body in this lifetime and to have this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so important that we take that opportunity and we reauthor the story about menopause, you know, rather as a disaster, a disappearing, a becoming invisible, as an ending, that this is a chance to have a second beginning, but with all the wisdom of the years that you've had before. It's kind of part of what I need to do is the reauthoring of the story of menopause, because often when I'm talking about it, I'm having to talk about symptoms and stuff. What I really want to say is, oh my God, you're going to love it the other side. Let me give you my hand and help you over. We're getting to the end of our time. So thank you so much, Monica. Thank you for sharing your seven steps. Thank you for your gift. We'll be posting up the link to it. So stay tuned to talkradio.nyc, where the next show is Dismantle Racism with the wonderful Reverend Dr. TLC, where her guests today are Devin Barry and Tara Millay, and they're talking about empower ourselves, disempower racism, which is really important. If you need more help with your menopause or even understanding how to press that reset button, go to patduckworth.com, where you can find blogs of all the previous shows, people that I've talked to, and all of their amazing tips. And if you need more help, you can contact me via that. And of course, you can get my book, Hot Women, Cool Solutions, because we want to cool down these hot women. Well, we don't want to cool them down too much. We want them to stay hot, really, because that is really important. And if you've missed any of the previous shows, you can find them on talkradio.nyc/hotwomenrock. And you can enjoy again some amazing interviews with some of my wonderful guests. Join me again next week when I'm talking to Saskia, who is, I was going to say a yoga teacher, but that's not right. I mean, she does yoga, but she's all about body alignment and really dealing with that myofascial release that's really important. If you don't know what that is, definitely join me next week to find out about your fascia and how to release it so you can realign your body and be really healthy. So let's say yes to the mess this week and just embrace it and reauthor our stories and reauthor menopause to be really powerful. Thank you to my producer this week. Thank you, Dylan, for doing a brilliant job. We'll have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week when we'll be talking about realigning your body. Take care. See you next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.